Chapter 15. Marina and I stare at each other, both of us frozen. That's the thing about death prophecies delivered over telepathic group chat. It's not exactly clear who they apply to. Is Ella talking about me? Marina? Both of us? Everyone here? Hell, I don't believe the future is set in stone. I don't believe in fate. We are not running now, not without first trying to execute our plan. After a moment of uncertainty, I see a flare of determination light in Marina's eyes. I'm not running, she says. Me neither, I reply, already regretting these last few seconds we spent standing still. Go, get the others into position. Marina runs towards Sarah and the others. I bolt in the opposite direction, across the landing strip, trying to chase down Lexa. She hears the commotion and turns around at the top of the ramp, an eyebrow raised at me. He's early, I tell her. Shit. Fly low so they won't see you. I'm not sure how close they are. Close! Ella screams in my brain. I flinch at the loudness. You know I've got some weapons on this thing, right? Lexa asks, pointing her thumb towards her ship. I can help fight them off. No, it's our only escape plan. We can't risk the ship getting damaged. You got it, Six, Lexa replies. I'll get it hidden and be right back. No, I say, shaking my head. Don't come back. We can't risk our pilot getting clipped either. Get the ship parked and hidden, then wait. If things go bad here, I want you to be ready to get us the hell out. We might need to run. All right, Lexa says, keeping her cool. She points into the jungle to the south, where broken stone pieces of an ancient causeway are still visible. I'll be a mile in that way, Six. A straight line from here. Mark's got a radio for the cockpit if you need to get in touch. Got it. Good luck, Lexa replies. What she really means is survive. Lexa gets our ship in the air and flies it low enough that the tops of the trees brush against its underbelly. As soon as she's out of sight, I glance first towards the horizon, no Anubis yet, and then run towards the jungle on the eastern side of the sanctuary. It's where the others have gathered, a good place to hide out. There's plenty of dense foliage and an overturned log we can use for cover. From there, we can see both the front of the temple and the side door. It's the perfect place to trigger our traps. We'll also be able to see the Anubis coming in when it does, which can't be long now. Ella? It feels weird to be speaking her name out loud, but I can't get down this whole talking inside my head thing. I wonder if Marina is still looped into the telepathic conversation. What the hell? You told John Sunset! Cetricus Ra didn't stop for reinforcements. He's too excited to get here. Well, that's good news at least. Cetricus Ra didn't replenish his troops after leaving New York. That means we won't have to deal with so many. Even so, I'm still more than a little freaked out by Ella's first dire announcement. What did you mean before? Who's going to die?
I don't know. It was a vision, not entirely clear. But I saw blood, so much blood. And I'm not worth it, Six. You could leave now, escape, and...
I sense that Ella is holding something back, not being totally honest about what she knows. John told me that her legacies were amped up, but that her clairvoyance wasn't foolproof. I'm not about to change our plan based on her vision of a future that we might still be able to change. We're staying, I say firmly, hoping she can detect the resoluteness in my mind. We're getting you off that ship. Do you hear me?
Yes.
We could use your help. How close are you? What do you see?
5 minutes, Six. We're 5 minutes out.
5 minutes? Holy shit. What's he sending against us?
He's coming down personally. 100 warriors, ready to go. And I'll be there. I won't be able to help you, Six. I can't... My body doesn't work anymore.
100. That's a lot. We can handle them, though.
At least if we catch a good chunk of them when we blow up the skimmers. There's got to be something we can do, Ella. Just tell me how to help you.
You can't. Her voice comes back, sad and resigned. Don't worry about me. Do what you need to do.
Adam joins me as I run towards the edge of the jungle where the others have already hidden. Instead of immediately running to our hiding spot, he took a detour into the skimmer we flew down here and collected the vicious Mogadorian sword that once belonged to his father. The sword looks heavy strapped across Adam's back, but he keeps up with me.
Almost forgot it, he says, catching me looking at the sword.
Isn't there an expression about bringing a knife to a gunfight? I ask.
He shrugs. You never know when a big sharp thing might come in handy.
We skid to a stop at the edge of the jungle, where the rest of our group is already hunkered down behind a fallen tree. Adam turns around and watches the sky, his mouth a tight line, arms crossed. Mark is holding the detonator control for our bombs that Adam showed him how to use earlier. With Mark acting as our demolitions expert, Marina is freed up to focus on telekinetically firing the blasters we've hidden throughout the jungle. Sarah stands next to them, a blaster held in one hand, her other hand pressed to her temple, pale and frowning.
I don't accept that, Marina says as I slide in next to her. I realize that she's having a conversation with Ella, too.
Accept what? Mark asks, confused.
Sarah shushes him. Taking another look at her, I realize that Sarah is also tuned into Ella's telepathic channel. She knows death might be coming.
We're going to steal his ship right out from under him. We are going to rescue you.
I say these things out loud, steel in my voice, knowing that Ella can hear me.
I'm sorry. That won't happen, Ella says telepathically.
I can tell by the way her eyes well up with tears that Marina can hear her too. Sarah covers her mouth and swallows hard, looking at me questioningly.
Bullshit, I say. Don't you dare give up hope, Marina practically yells into the empty space in front of her. Ella? Do you hear me?
Ella doesn't respond. I can still feel her there, almost like a tickle in the back of my mind. I know she's listening in. She just isn't answering us anymore. I don't care what she says or how many Moogs we have to go through, I say, addressing Marina now. If we do one thing today, we are getting Ella away from Cetricus Raw. Get hold of her and get her back to Lexa's ship.
Agreed, Marina says.
Maybe that'll work, Sarah adds, that look of shock gone from her face, replaced by a thoughtful look. Like Marina and me, she isn't backing down from the threat of death.
I mean, wasn't there something with your guys' old Loric charm that broke it when you got together?
Yeah, I reply. So?
So maybe Cetricus Ra's messed up version works in the opposite way, Sarah explains. Maybe that's why he's been taking Ella with him everywhere he goes. He's got to keep her close for it to work.
Makes sense to me, Mark says, shrugging. Not that I'm, like, an authority on this shit.
It's definitely a possibility worth testing out, especially since we plan to rescue Ella anyway. I turn to Adam. The plan was for the two of us to go invisible and board the Anubis while the others provided the distraction.
What do you think? Go for the warship or go for Ella?
Your call, he replies.
You might have to get right under his nose to get to Ella, Sarah says. Which means he could turn off your invisibility, Marina adds.
Shit, I say, mind racing.
All right.
Maybe we can get them separated when we spring our traps. If we see an opportunity, let's go for Ella. Otherwise, we stick to the plan and take the Anubis. I point south. There's some old stonework that way. If you head south from there, that's where Lexa hid our ship. If things get bad out here, if the Moogs figure out your position, I want you three to make a break for it.
And leave you behind? Marina asks.
We'll be invisible, at least, I reply, looking between her and Sarah. Just stay alive. That's what's important now. Sarah nods grimly and Marina turns away, looking towards the sanctuary. Even after Ella's warning, I doubt she has any intention of retreating. Before I can say anything else, Adam grabs my arm and points towards the landing strip.
Damn it, Six! We forgot about our friend!
I look to where Adam points and see Fury Dunra squirming wildly against her bonds. In our rush to get into position, I completely forgot about our Mogadorian prisoner. Even though she's hooded, Fury Dunra must have heard the commotion and knows we're distracted. She's going nuts on her restraints, doing anything she can to get loose. We tied her to that wheel strut pretty tightly, so I don't think she's going to break free. All the same, it's probably not a good idea to leave her out there when the Anubis shows up. Cetricus Ra will know something's up if he sees her, Adam says, reading my mind. Mark lifts up his blaster and looks down the sights, the barrel aimed in Fury Dunra's direction.
Want me to take her out? I think I can make the shot.
Marina puts a hand on his blaster and makes him lower it.
If we wanted to execute her, Mark, don't you think we would have done it already?
Adam gives me a look, like maybe it's not a bad idea to finally put Fury Dunra out of our misery. He's wanted to kill her all day, though, and I can understand why.
Should have stuck her in the pit, Sarah says regretfully.
We have to get her out of sight, I say. I reach out with my telekinesis and undo Fury Dunra's bonds. It takes me a few seconds, like Marina firing off the hidden blasters. Such a precise task is not easy to accomplish at this distance. Fury Dunra must think she's done this on her own. She rips off her hood and gag, then springs to her feet, stumbling, surprised to have the rope suddenly give way. The Trueborn rubs her wrists for a moment, looks around, and then takes off running towards the jungle opposite of us. She's headed right towards where we've hidden some of the Moog blasters.
Six? Marina asks, a note of warning in her voice. Do you know what you're doing?
I do. Before Fury Dunra can make it far, I use the ropes we'd tied her up with to telekinetically lasso her feet. She falls forward hard, pretty much landing on her face. Then I drag her towards us, dust and dirt scrabbled up as she claws at the ground and tries to escape. Her frustrated screams are loud enough to scare up some birds from the nearby trees.
We need to shut her up, Adam says.
Marina, reel her in, I reply. As Marina takes over the telekinesis, I focus on the clouds rolling in on the evening sky. I don't want to create a full-fledged storm, not with the Anubis and Cetricus Ra so close. Luckily, I don't need one. There's a dark cloud up there with just enough charge to generate a small lightning bolt. I send this arcing down into Fury Dunra, zapping her good. I guess there's a chance this could kill her, but I don't really have time to worry about that. The Moog spasms as the electricity shoots through her, then stops struggling against Marina's telekinesis. She doesn't disintegrate, so I guess she's still alive. When Marina's dragged Fury Dunra over to the tree line, Adam grabs her under the arms and pulls her the rest of the way. He shoves her behind the log we're hiding behind and begins retying her wrists and ankles.
So you guys are taking prisoners now? Mark asks.
She might come in handy, I reply, shrugging.
We can't keep dragging her around, Adam says as he finishes tightening the knots.
We'll leave her here. She mentioned loving the jungle, right? I say with a smile on my face. We've got bigger things to worry about than the fate of Fury Dunra.
Let's not jinx our chance at survival by making lots of plans, Mark says.
Before anyone can reply, the jungle around us gets strangely quiet. I'd gotten so used to the incessant squawking of tropical birds that it's absolutely jarring when it's gone. Even the bug noises taper off. Across the clearing that the Moogs made around the sanctuary to the north, a whole flock of birds flies out from the trees and scatters. The Anubis is here. I hold out my hands and arms.
Grab on, I tell everyone. I'll keep us all invisible until we're ready to attack.
Marina takes one of my hands, and Sarah takes the other.
Mark, detonator at the ready, gets hold of my shoulder. Adam is last. He gives me a nod, probably remembering when I told him how strange it was to hold hands with a Mogadorian. Until this is over, the two of us will be attached at the hip. I nod back, over it, and he squeezes in next to Marina, his hand on my upper arm. Only Bernie Kosar doesn't get close to me. Instead, our chimera transforms into a toucan and flies into a nearby tree. It's sort of funny, the five of us crowded together like this. It almost looks like we're posing for a picture. I turn us invisible just as the Anubis glides into view. The warship is bigger than I even imagined. The whole ship is made from overlapping panels of a metallic gray alloy that almost look like scales. It's shaped like one of those Egyptian bugs, a scarab, except with a whole ton of guns, the massive cannon jutting off the front of its hull particularly catching my eye.
God, Sarah whispers.
Holy shit, Mark says a little louder. His hand tightens on my shoulder. As the Anubis lumbers closer, the entire clearing and the sanctuary itself are stuck in its shadow. Easy now, I say, trying to keep from freaking out myself. Stay still and stay close. They can't see us. The enormous ship comes to a stop so that it's hovering above the Moog encampment. Even considering the large swath of jungle the Moogs cleared, the warship is so big that it won't have room to land. Adam must realize that the Anubis hovering above the battlefield kind of screws up our plans. We're going to need to find a way up there. If he lands any ground troops, we can pick them off and fly their own skimmers back up there, I reply. It's exactly the tactic John and the absent U.S. military want to employ against the Moog warships, so who better than us to be the guinea pigs?
What's he doing? Sarah wonders. What are they waiting for?
Ella stopped telepathically broadcasting to us a few minutes ago, and now I'm wondering if it's just my imagination that I can still feel her presence lingering in the back of my mind. If she's still there, though, if she can hear me, we could definitely use the help.
Ella?
I ask, feeling stupid saying her name out loud like this. Can you hear me?
What's going on up there?
There's no response. Marina? Sarah, is she?
Nothing, Six,
Sarah answers, one disembodied voice talking about another.
I think she's gone, Marina adds. But then it happens, a whisper in the back of my mind. Ella's voice, forlorn and hopeless. You should have run.
In the air above us, a humming sound begins to emanate from the Anubis. It's noticeable because of how amazingly silent the warship is otherwise. It starts low, but builds up quickly. Pretty soon my teeth are vibrating because of it. I scan the underbelly of the warship, expecting to see Cetricus Ra's soldiers descending in skimmers, but the skies are clear.
What the hell is that?
I ask, hoping Adam will answer. It's powering up, Adam replies. His voice is shaky, and I feel his hand get looser on my arm, like he's stunned and forgetting that he needs to hold on to me to remain invisible. Powering up what? I ask. The main weapon, he answers. The cannon. I can see it. The dark hollow of the cannon's barrel begins to glow as energy coalesces there. The humming gets louder as the cannon fills with pure energy, like a Mogadorian blaster overcharging. In seconds, the sanctuary and the jungle around it are all bathed in the azure light. I want to shield my eyes, but Marina and Sarah are gripping my hands tight. This is bad, Mark says. Really bad.
Adam?
I shout to be heard over the charging weapon. How powerful is that thing? As a group, we all shuffle backwards. I'm barely able to keep track of everyone and maintain our invisibility. We need to move, Adam replies, the awe gone from his voice, replaced by terror. We need to get back!
Everyone's already backing up, leaving only Fury Dunra hidden behind the overturned log. Marina tugs against my grip. She's not moving.
Marina! I yell. Come on!
We said we wouldn't run! She shouts back.
But!
The hum reaches a crescendo, and the energy built up in the warship's cannon discharges with a deafening shriek. A solid arc of electricity the size of 10,000 lightning bolts shears directly into the sanctuary and slices right through it, the ancient limestone glowing red-hot. The cannon's blast cuts through the temple, top to bottom, like it was nothing. I have only a moment to consider the sanctuary, still standing but cut down the middle. I can see light through the cracks in the once solid wall. A second later, the condensed energy from the cannon expands outwards in a bright surge of light. The sanctuary explodes.
No!
Marina screams. We screwed up. Cetricus Ra didn't come here to claim the sanctuary. He came here to destroy it. I don't have time to think about what that means or what happens next. Adam yanks me backwards and we go staggering into the jungle just as chunks of the temple begin to rain down around us. I lose my grip on Marina and she pops back into visibility. Mark's hand falls off my shoulder and he reappears as well. Only Sarah and Adam keep holding on to me. Marina actually goes running forward, like she's going to be able to fight against that warship.
Stop! I yell. Marina, stop!
Mark reacts quickly, his football reflexes coming naturally. He lunges towards her, wraps his arms around Marina's waist, and tackles her.
Get off me!
Marina screams at Mark. She shoves him away, icy handprints forming on his chest. Then something else explodes. One of the skimmers we wired with C4. It must have taken a direct hit from a piece of the sanctuary and triggered the bomb. Shrapnel whizzes by all around us, sizzling hot pieces of bent metal tearing through the leaves of the trees. Mark sucks in a breath and topples over. There's a jagged piece of thick cockpit glass jutting out of his chest.
Mark!
Sarah screams, wrestling free from me and running towards him. Marina sees Mark's injury and gasps. She turns her back on the sanctuary and falls to her knees beside him, yanking out the glass and immediately starting to heal him. Branches break above my head, and I look up in time to see a basketball-sized chunk of limestone hurtling towards me. On reflex, I use my telekinesis and catch it in midair, tossing it aside. I don't catch the next one. It hits me on top of the head. Before I even realize what's happened, there's something sticky and warm coating the side of my face. Adam grabs me under the arms as I fall to my knees. We're both visible now. Must have lost my concentration. I try to get my legs under me, to refocus on my invisibility, but I can't do either. My head swims, and I have to blink blood out of my eyes.
Help! Adam yells to Marina. Six is hurt!
I try to hold on to consciousness, but it's hard. The world is going black, even as everything we've fought for goes up in flames. Ella warned us there would be death. Feeling almost detached from my body, I wonder if this is it. As I slip away, I hear Ella's voice in my head.
I'm sorry, she says.